Good evening. It is wonderful to be here, and thank you for the prayers on my behalf. This evening, I'd like to talk about the immutability of God. And I'll get to some definitions in that just for a minute. But first off, I wanted to say that the reason why I came up or decided to speak on this, I didn't come up with it, was that for several decades, there's been quite a few things done in the name of, well, the Bible's just outdated. This is, you know, behind the times. Well, it doesn't necessarily fit today's society, so it doesn't matter to us anymore. If I could get to my page in here, I closed this notebook and I should have put a marker in there. But I want to find out if that's true according to the Scripture. If God's Word does actually get outdated, if it does actually lose its value over time or through generations or because of societal change. To start out, would you open up your Bibles with me and read in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 17. Hebrews chapter 6, and we'll read there in verse 17. It says, "Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath." The word there, immutability, I wanted to look it up. And so I looked it up first off in Strong's. And in Strong's, it just said unchangeable. I looked it up again in the Oxford Dictionary, and it said unchangeable by time or unchangeable. So immutability means it's not able to be changed. And his counsel is his word. So here it talks about the unchangeableness of his word. And I thought, well, that puts the rest of that. And honestly, I could end my sermon with that today. Because if his word's unchangeable, it's unchangeable. But I wanted to look a little bit deeper into this and look at specifics on that and then a couple examples of it. So if you'll go ahead, let's go ahead and look at Psalms 33. And we'll read there in verse 10 and 11. Psalms 33, verse 10 and 11. It reads, "The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations." All right, well, this answers the question of, does time take a toll on it, on God's word? Does it lose its effectiveness over time? Because it says that the thoughts of his heart go all generations. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever. There's no time limit on it. There's no expiration date. And you think about it, what if there was an expiration date? What if it did change? Well, think about the doctrines that we stand on. Think about the things that we have hope in and the things that we are living our lives towards. That would mean those things could change too, wouldn't it? I mean, if God's Word had an expiration date, there would be no point in reading the Bible because at any moment it could all change. There would be no point of having a firm foundation beneath us because the foundation wouldn't be firm. We wouldn't know what doctrine is or what it might be. If it can change, then we have nothing to stand on. But this says it doesn't change. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 1. We'll read there verse 10 through 12. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 10 through 12 gives us kind of an explanation of why God's word doesn't change. It says, "And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest, and they all shall wax old as doth a garment. And as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed, but thou art the same, and thy ears shall not fail." You know, you and me, at some point we do have an expiration date. We're going to change. We're going to get older, and we're going to get wrinklier, and then eventually we're going to die. It's a part of life. You know, and you see people change in other ways as well. From being a small child where they might be real bubbly and happy all the time, to a teenager where you want to put them in a barrel and feed them through that, to an older person where they have the responsibilities of a marriage and children. You know, we see people change throughout their lives. But God doesn't change. It says that He doesn't change over time. And then if you look at Proverbs chapter 19, verse 21. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 21 reads, "There are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand." This tells us that God doesn't change and His Word doesn't change, not just over the times, but it doesn't change when we change. I mean, societies change. You look back to the beginnings of America, and in that day, you know, women were only allowed to wear dresses, for example. And today, women wear pants and stuff all the time. In society, the rules on that being okay or not changed. But God said His rules don't change. Regardless of how man changes his mind this way or that, God doesn't. He stays the same forever. Now that we have that fairly well covered, let's take a look at some examples. The first thing I want to look at is Proverbs 22 and verse 15. Proverbs 22 and verse 15 reads, "Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him." Now, the other day I got on the internet and I typed in the word "studies on spanking children" into Google. And the screen that came up before me was, you know, the list of web pages that you could go to. And the titles on them said things like, "Studies show leads to depression, leads to mental instability, leads to violence, leads to..." I mean, you fill in the blank. It had a lot of stuff. I didn't spend time looking at every single page. But there was just so much stuff that all said, oh, well, this is a bad thing. You should not spank your children. But the Word of God, as we just read, is immutable. It doesn't change over time. And God said that we should. If you read Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, and we'll read verse 7 through 9. It says, "Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but He for our profit, that we might be partakers of His holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby." Now we have this passage that was written during the time of Paul. And the passage before in Proverbs was written in the time of Solomon. It was at least written then. It may have been an older proverb than that. God didn't change His mind between those two points, and that was at least 1,000 years. Probably several, but I don't know the exact number, so I don't want to say that. But between now and the time of Paul, God's Word is still immutable, and it didn't change then either. People say, well, what about those studies? You know, does God's Word change because man came up with a new study? Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We'll read verse 19 and 20. 1 Corinthians 3, starting in verse 19, says, "For the word of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, He taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain." It says here that God's smarter than even our smartest. Simply put. You want to turn with me to Isaiah 29? In Isaiah 29, we'll read verse 15 and 16. It says, "Woe unto them that seek deep to hide their counsel from the Lord, and their works are in the dark, and they say, Who seeth us, and who knoweth us? Surely your turning of things upside and down shall be esteemed as the potter's clay. For shall the work say of him that made it, He made me not? Or shall the thing that framed of him that framed it, He had no understanding?" Simply put, He made you. You're not smarter than He is. No matter what new studies they came up with, God said what He said a long time ago because He's smarter than we are. Those studies aren't smarter than God. And His Word is immutable. It doesn't change regardless of time, society, or studies. Another social change, I guess you could say, is homosexuality. And that's something that has been pushed very hard at us in today's times, especially recent years, that we should accept that. And when you try to say that's not acceptable, they'll say, well, those passages were just from that social period and they've changed, or that's outdated, or you are archaic or ignorant or belligerent if you disagree. But the Word of God doesn't change. Leviticus 18 and verse 22. Leviticus 18 and verse 22 reads, "Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is an abomination." And God didn't change his mind from Leviticus 18 all the way up to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9. Let's turn there. 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 9. It reads, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves and mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." God held true to his word. He didn't change his mind. His word didn't change. It is immutable, and it stands to today. Regardless of what society has changed in their minds as being okay, regardless of what the government says is okay, God's word does not change. In the past decade and a half or so, at least to me, because I'm younger, I've noticed also a big change in the church that they've become to accept more. And this especially is founded on, well, that society back then, they just didn't do that. But we're past that, and that's that having women speakers in the church. If you read in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and we'll read there verse 34 and 35. It says, "Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for women to speak in the church." If you turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2, we'll read a little bit more on the subject. 1 Timothy chapter 2, and we'll start reading in verse 11. It says, "Let the women learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression." It didn't change. It didn't change from the beginning of time when this concept was brought forward. Well, the beginning of man and woman in the world and not in the garden. Because that's when this was brought up. That was when this was socially acceptable, all the way up to here in 1 Timothy and all the way to now. It hasn't changed. It's immutable. It doesn't change over time, and it doesn't change with the societies. And you know, we've looked at several things that people want to change in some cases, and that people have decided that this is what we want. But God's word is held the same. And there's one very, very important reason why we should all want God's word to stay the same. Turn with me to John chapter 3 and verse 16. John chapter 3 and verse 16 is the most popular verse. I think everyone's heard it. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but receive everlasting life." Or we're given this verse from Christ that said, God loved us so much that he gave his Son to die for us on the cross. Because of that, if we have belief in him, we can have eternal life. You look at Mark chapter 16 and read there in verse 15. Mark 16 and 16. It says, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." You know, if you believe in Jesus, the Son of God, and you're baptized, you can be saved. Your sins can be washed away. You can have a home in paradise. Now let's turn over to Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6 through 7. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6 through 7. It says, "For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Even from the days of your father ye have gone away from mine ordinances, and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But he said, wherein shall we return? You know, this passage here kind of illustrates an idea about God changing. He said, I am the Lord, I change not, therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. You know how many times the children of Israel turned away from God again and again and again. And he said, you know what, you've broken the covenant, but I hold up my end of the bargain, and therefore I won't destroy you. Can you imagine if the word of God did change with the times? Yes, you have forgiveness of sins, but you know what? You just messed up so many times that I'm going to change my mind. It's too late. It's over. It is beautiful that the Word of God is immutable. It is wonderful that He doesn't change His mind, that His Word doesn't change over time or with societies, because He's given us the best gifts of all, assurance and hope that we can have eternal life. If you look at 1 John chapter 1, we'll read there verse 7 and verse 9. It says, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know, because God's Word is sure, because it's immutable, today we who have been baptized know that at any point when we make a mistake, we can come to God and ask for forgiveness, and He will forgive us. There's profound beauty in that. We don't have to worry about Him changing His mind. And He doesn't change His mind with this, and He won't change His mind with anything else. So we can be sure in our doctrine, and we can be sure in our salvation. So this evening, if you're not a child of God, and you haven't been baptized yet, or you're a Christian, and you made mistakes, and you need to confess your sins. Now, if you be of either class, come forward, and we'll help you out, because God is true to His Word, His immutable Word, and He will forgive you. Come as we sing the invitation song.